flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The Wizards lost again. That's 16 straight losses for the Washington Wizards. They lost to the Lakers last night. You just mentioned something to me that I don't think I knew about the game. Tell me.
Career high. Bronny James, our boy, 5 points. He'd only scored 4 the entire season entering last night. So great defense for the Wizards.
That's his best game as a pro?
Well, he had scored 4 points in the NBA.
I thought he was playing in the G League. No?
He has the two-way deal, the two-way bit. So they bring him up for games that they think he's going to play. He played.
Well, they were right to think he would play in this game. The Wizards, by the way, became the 5th team to lose at least 16 straight games on multiple occasions according to Sport Radar. That's their 16th straight loss. They're now 6-41 on the season. They were down 42-29 at the end of the first quarter. They were down 78-45 at halftime. These games are so over so quickly. Didn't the Mavericks have a 42-16 lead the other night at the end of the first quarter? I think they did. We're watching right now potentially the worst regular season in NBA history. So the worst regular season in NBA history is the Philadelphia 76ers, who won 10 games back in, hold on, I had it here a second ago. Why did I pull that down? The worst NBA regular seasons. 1973 76ers were 9-73. All right, in an 82-game schedule. That's the worst record in the history of NBA basketball. The 76ers in 2016, those would be the Josh Harris Process 76ers, were 10-72. Washington at 6-41 right now are on pace to win 10.46 games. So they are just barely ahead of the 2016 76ers, and a little bit more comfortably ahead. Average, you know, their current winning percentage extrapolated out over 82 games ahead of the 73 76ers. But that doesn't mean they won't get there. I mean, a couple more losses for the Wizards coming up. And right now, their schedule, you know, their next game's against the Timberwolves, as an example. Then they go from the Timberwolves. They play Charlotte, Brooklyn, but then they've got Cleveland. So they've got, you know, certain, look, every game for them is going to be a game in which they're an underdog in. But the rest of the way, they still play Boston a couple times, still play Detroit a couple of times, still play some other good teams in the NBA. They've got a shot. They got a shot to pull off the worst season in NBA history. Again, let me just emphasize this. This is much better than, you know, Ted saying we'll never tank and doing it that way, because that didn't generate anything positive in terms of being a good team, being a contender. You know, there were a couple of teams that I got into probably overzealous getting into some of those Wall, Beal, Gortat, Nene, Ariza, Paul Pierce, etc. teams. They were close to getting to an Eastern Conference Finals. They were in a seventh and deciding game in 2017 in Boston. That was fun. That was exciting. I was into it. There's no doubt. And I probably thought that they were headed for, you know, kind of contention and being in the mix in the Eastern Conference for years to come. That did not work out. Injuries, etc. They're doing the right thing right now. Now, they're kind of going overboard in the fact that they're not even close to competitive. None of these games are close. The average margin of loss is outrageous for the Wizards right now. They are, where are they right now? Minus 15.2. That's an unbelievable average margin of loss. They're not right now. Minus 15.2, just to give you an idea, is the worst in the league, of course. The second worst is New Orleans at minus 8.5. They're almost double the average loss margin from the team in front of them at 29th. I think the 15.2 margin of loss is a point behind the all-time mark. I think there's, if you look this up, Denton, because I think we looked this up last week, I think it's like 16-something is the record all-time for average margin of loss in NBA history. But, man, they are one bad basketball team right now. I mean, 16 straight losses from November 2nd through December 5th, and now 16 straight losses from January 3rd to January 30th. And there's a pretty good chance on Saturday night in Minnesota it'll be 17 straight. And that would be, Denton, right, the all-time franchise mark.
That would. It would be their second chance to break it this year, but that would break it.
Yeah, I mean, they would certainly have another chance to break it if they were to somehow pull off a shocker at Minnesota. Because at that point, they've still got 24 more games, right? 34 more games. What am I talking about? 34 more games. Anyway. Really bad team. This right now is one of the worst teams we've ever had among our four professional teams all time. Now, the all-time worst team, and I think it's not debatable because it's the worst season in the history of the National Hockey League. Now, there's a reason for it. The 74-75 Capitals were an expansion team, and they played like it. They went 8-67-5. That is the worst 82-game NHL season of all time. The Wizards could join them this year if they can go on, you know, a couple of other big losing streaks and not get to, the Philadelphia mark. And they got a chance. I mean, it's almost like you're kind of rooting for them to make history here. They're guaranteed at this point, barring, you know, the absolute unforeseen, which is not going to happen, to end up in the bottom three teams in the league, which is, you know, good for the best odds for the draft lottery. You know, the bottom three teams will have a 14% chance. Right now, they're 6-41 mark. Is easily the worst in the league. Utah's 10-36. And then you've got two 12-win teams in the Hornets and the Pelicans. I mean, I think the Hornets and the Pelicans have already won, you know, too many games for the Wizards to pass. They're not going to win six more likely than not. So they are pretty much a lock for the bottom three. And again, I'm all for this. I'm all for this
tanking. I'm all for playing all these young players, drafting all these young players, and trying to find the players that could be a part of a contending team, you know, when some of you that have hair don't have hair anymore. Some of you that have hair have gray hair. It's going to be 4, 5, 6 years before this pays off, if it pays off. But this is the only way to do it. It's the only chance you have, is to keep drafting players and hit on a top five player in the league and a couple of others that end up being really good two, a really good three. And maybe by the time we get to 2028, 2029, and the new football stadium is getting near to opening, hopefully at the RFK site, the Wizards are a contender. That would be great. Watch Cooper Flagg. He's pretty good. They're going to have a chance at him. Watch Ace Bailey for Rutgers. He's pretty good. They may have a chance at him. The worst Nats season for, in terms of, you know, a true full season of baseball, 162 games, is nowhere near the worst in Major League Baseball history. So the Nats have had a couple of bad seasons, including 2022 when they won just 55 games. You know, when they arrived in town, remember their first year, they went 81-81. And then, you know, 08, 09, before they got on their run, they won 59 games in consecutive years. But none of those are anywhere near the worst seasons of all time. Interestingly, the old Washington Senators, who were here in multiple iterations because they moved to Minneapolis in 61, then we got an expansion team, the Senators. The 1904 Senators went 38-113. That winning percentage is the fourth worst ever in Major League Baseball history. Of course, we don't remember any of this. The 1909 Senators also are in the top 10 of worst MLB seasons. But nothing the Senators or the Nationals have done rivals what the Caps have done or what the Wizards are currently doing. Now, in terms of our football team, you know, I said about the season last year that in my lifetime, I think last year may have been the worst team and the worst season I've ever seen. You know, it wasn't the, you know, fewest amount of wins because they had had three win seasons before. They were 4-13 last year. But in terms of just the overall point differential of minus 189, it was, you know, it was the worst, certainly in a 17-game schedule. And it was close to what the 2019 team was at 3-13. And a lot of people will point back to the 1961 team that went 1-12-1, which was really, you know, the standard for awful. They were 1-12-1 under McPeak, the coach at the time. And they were a dreadful team. You know, some of the longtime historians of the team that remember that or have studied that will say that's the worst Redskins team of all time. You know, I personally think the team that I watched last year and the way they lost games, it was bad. But nothing the Redskins have ever done in a season really rivals what the Wizards are doing now or what the Caps did in their expansion year. I think in terms of just looking at the four majors and taking into consideration the cap season was an expansion team season, we are witnessing right now the worst season in DC sports history. These Wizards are a special kind of awful. Nothing the Nats have done. The Senators, you got to go back to the early 1900s. The Caps, you got to go back to an expansion season. The Redskins 61 season was horrific. You know, last year was really bad. 2019 wasn't pleasant to watch, but it really doesn't rival this. You know, none of those seasons ended up with Washington being the worst team in the league, even, let alone one of the worst teams of all time. This is really bad. I wish I were paying attention to it more to tell you why it's so bad, but I'm not. You know, I've talked to a few people. Ben Standing still watches every single game. You know, I think he doesn't love the fact that all the young guys seem to be playing at the same time rather than, you know, bringing some guys off the bench and having the team be a bit more competitive when the young guys are in. But they're about probably on the verge to trading some of their veteran players, Poole, Kuzma, etc. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to get a trade with the Wizards coming up here before the trade deadline that hopefully will bring back more opportunities draft-wise or a young prospect, but I'm sure it'll be draft choices. But this is, Denton, this is the worst. This is the worst DC sports season ever. I don't know, man. This, it's not just the record, it's the margin of loss. This team during this 16-game schedule, the closest game they played, and it by far was the closest game they played, was a 6-point loss to Philadelphia back on January 8th. They lost by 38 last night. They lost by 24 the night before. They lost by 22 the night before that. At Phoenix, they only lost by 10. They lost by 17 in L.A. to the Clippers. They lost by 23 to the Lakers. They lost by 23 to Sacramento. They only lost by 8 at Golden State. 7 against Phoenix. Man, keep playing Phoenix. Those are their close games. Of course, you only play them twice a year. So that's it.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But the Lakers were in town, and people were cheering for Bronny to get in the game and set his all-time scoring mark of 5 points. He was 1-for-6 in the game. But good for him. LeBron, 24 points, 27 minutes. The Wizards lose 134-96.
Did you ever think that, let me turn the clock back here for you. Let's just say it's 2009 and you're watching the Andre Blatch-led Wizards and you're like, surely it's never going to get this low again.
That team was really bad. Was that the team that won 19 games?
That was 08-09 when they still had Twan and Karan on that roster, but they had traded them at the end of the year. And then 09-10 was when Andre Blatch was the best player on the team. And you're like,
Flip's first year or Eddie Jordan's last year?
That was Flip's first year. It was. I think that, that roster, let me pull it up. It was like Blatch, Nick Young.
Oh.
Gilbert was there for
a little bit. They traded. They had like Randy Foy on the team. They had made that trade. Mike Miller was on the team. Right? Is that the team?
Yeah, Twan and Karan were traded that year. So they played half the year. And then you have Andre Blatch. You had Mike Miller for 54 games. Remember Al Thornton? He was on that team. Yeah, Brendan Haywood was on that team. 26 games of Sean Livingston before he resurrected his career. You had Alonzo G. on the team. Who remembers Earl Boykins? He was like 5'6". Yeah.
Was Brendan on that team?
Brendan was on that team. JaVale McGee was on that team. James Singleton.
McGee was one of the all-time talents, but apparently, I mean, look, the maturity level of those teams and the dysfunction of those Wizards, they rivaled the Skins' dysfunction.
I think Gilbert's bringing more.
You know, the whole thing was just out of control. Who else am I missing from that team?
So we had Cartier Martin on that team. I actually like Cartier Martin for a little bit. That's how bad things were. Deshaun Stevenson was on that team for 40 games.
I actually always kind of liked Deshaun Stevenson. He had some big games for them.
He was a badass competitor.
Like, kind of off the bench.
He was a badass competitor. He also shot 17% from three that year.
Okay.
Who else is on this team? You mentioned Randy Foy, Mike Miller. Josh Howard was on the team for four games.
Oh, the Wake Forest Josh Howard.
Yeah, the one that played really well in Dallas, that playoff run in 06.
Oh, he played really well in Dallas. He was a hell of a defender.
I thought he was going to be something here.
Josh Howard, when he played at Wake, I was like, this dude is a killer and he is a defender. How many years did he play in Washington? It wasn't a lot.
I think it was like two. Maybe one and a half, really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember a lot of Josh Howard here. I do remember him being on the roster, but I certainly remember him in Dallas during some of those years. I'm sorry?
I think he's a coach now.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he coaches in the in one of like the lower level leagues. But he was in Washington for he was traded in February of 2010, and then he was gone in December of 2011.
Yeah. Well, look, that obviously led to the drafting of one John Wall, you know, and the idea of, and by the way, like that was not a controversial pick. John Wall was the clear number one in that pick. And then, you know, we started to see the build. And look, I've said this many times. I think that the best coached Wizards team were the Randy Whitman teams. I thought they were the most disciplined. I thought they were the toughest. I thought they were the best coached. And when they got into that run of going to the postseason and they won, you know, back-to-back series, like they hadn't won a series since 2005 when they won against the Bulls in the 2014 postseason, right? 2014, that was the first year. And then they lost to the Pacers in a series, by the way, in which they won game one of that series. It went to six. And then you go to the next year in which they swept Toronto in the first round of the postseason. And then they had that very good series with the Hawks in which John got hurt. And I think they would have won that series had John not gotten hurt and would have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals that year. And then, you know, Scott Brooks comes in. Look, Scott was a super nice guy and definitely more of a player's coach. He was not the X's and O's coach that Randy Whitman was. Not even close. And they had a couple of good years. Like, it was Brooks's first year that they made it to the Celtics series, right? That was his first year where they almost won 50. They won 49. They didn't get to 50. Was that Brooks's first year or second year? Hold on.
That was Scott Brooks.
You're not helping me here.
No, that was Scott Brooks's first year. Yeah, that was first year they won 49 because they started awful that year. And then they turned it around. They went 49-33. The next year was 43-39.
Yeah. Yeah, that season, I mean, I got carried away. There is no doubt I got way carried away. This is the team in town other than the Skins and Terps Hoops that I've always had incredible passion for. The lack of passion this year is for friends of mine, they're like, you know, did you see last night? No, I haven't watched anything. I barely have paid attention. But I'm totally in favor of what they're doing. But that series when they beat the Hawks and John Wall had one of the great playoff games in franchise history, the game six on the road, he had 42. I'm going to pull up the box.
I think it was like 42 and 17, right? I mean, the guy was on – he was – completely on one.
He scored, it was something like 17 of their final 19 points to put essentially the series on ice and to clinch the series. 42 points, 8 assists, 4 steals in the game, 2 block shots in the game.
He shot 64% from the field in that game.
He was so good in that game. And then in the 7th game against Boston, he went ice cold. You know, that was a killer in the 7th game against Boston. Remember, he had a terrible game after forcing Game 7 at the end of Game 6. Beal was the one that went off in Game 7.
But the bench scored like 5 points that game.
What did Beal have? He had 30-something in
that game. Yeah, Beal had 38 on 12 of 22, but the bench, it was literally Bogdanović who had 5, and that was it. Like, Mahimi played 11 minutes. Oubre couldn't do anything. Brandon Jennings, I forgot he was on the team. He played 6 minutes. I mean, they had Wall playing 44
Bogdanović
minutes.
Was huge in that series, though, if I recall, but not in Game 7.
I'm looking at the numbers for that Atlanta series as a whole. John Wall averaged nearly 30-10. He was 29.5-10.
He was awesome in that series. Awesome in that series. I've said this before about that game six. It's one. I think Elvin Hayes probably had the greatest Wizards Bullets playoff game. It was game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks. He went for 35-19 and like had 6 block shots, something like that in the game. It was an outrageous performance. 39 points in the game. It was an outrageous performance. He strapped the team to his back. They won game 7. They were the defending champions that year. Bobby Dandridge had one of the great all-time game 7s in franchise history. That was the 79 Eastern Conference Finals game against San Antonio. But Wall's 42 in game 6 against the Hawks, wow, that was a game. And like you said, that was a series. When John Wall was healthy, look, there was a lot that he didn't do. There was a lot that wasn't necessarily conducive to great playoff basketball. In the same way that Westbrook hasn't ever kind of been able to slow it down enough, John had some of those issues, although I think he was better in some of those spots as he grew older. But, you know, whatever. What are we doing here?
No, we're Seriously. Talking about the good old days.
But they weren't even good old days. I was trying to make them out to be good old days because I was just excited that people actually were watching the games and they cared a little bit. But that was it.
They were good old days for my generation.
2017 was it. What'd you say?
They were good old days for my generation because we never had anything that resembled a championship. So getting to the second round in that series with Boston and the way they beat Atlanta after 2 years prior, Schroeder had been posting some stuff on social media when they lost, when John Wall broke his hand, because John Wall, they would have won if John Wall didn't break his hand that year.
Oh, no doubt. They would have won that series if Wall doesn't break his hand. I think one of my favorites, their first series against Chicago when they were finally back into the postseason was a really fun series to watch. You know who called almost every game in that series for TNT? Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr was working as a game analyst, and I remember going, man, he's good. He is so good as a basketball analyst, and it probably was the next season that he took over at Golden State. If I'm positive that my memory of that is correct. If you tell me that his first season in Golden State was 2013-2014, then I'm thinking about something else. But I'm pretty sure that he called almost every game of that Bulls series, and the Wizards won that series in 5 games. Nene was incredible in those games. He was always such a high IQ player. I remember Kerr. They went in and they took, what'd you say?
That was because Kerr started in 14-15 in Golden State.
Yeah, good. I was going to say, man, if I was thinking of somebody else and not Steve Kerr. Kerr was awesome as a broadcaster. He really was. And he basically called, like, I think of those 5 games, I think he called 3 or 4 of them, it seemed like. And he was just so good in the nuance and understood who really was key. Because remember, that's Wall and Beal at the beginning. That's their first playoff series together. And I bought in. I thought this is going to be the first of many years in a row. They're gonna start going to the playoffs every year. This is going to be a 10-year run, playoffs every year, and they just have to find, a third big-time player, and maybe if, LeBron leaves the East, they can get to an NBA Finals, because that team had Trevor Ariza and Nene and Gortat on the team. You want to talk about 3 super high IQ players with a high IQ coach. They were really, really sharp as a team, smart as a team. They just didn't have enough in the next round against that Indiana team. But they were in that series, man. They were in that series against the Pacers. Okay. We're done talking about them. We'll do some Denton news. when we come back. Santana Moss is going to join us at 11:15. I want to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, but specifically the Eagles and something that Jason Kelce said about Jalen Hurts. You'll hear that next hour. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. Are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? It's the slam dunk in Las Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 for spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slam dunk. That would be slam dunk. Odyssey.com/slam dunk.